Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Should I go for it?
Why not? Wait, this is the advanced jump.
I know.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Tuesday, November 14th, 2023. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory. Alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Yeah, November 14th. Not too early for Christmas music. I don't care.
Wow. Next to him, it's the bearded one, a top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Heyo.
Heyo. And last but not least, over yonder, making the magic happen, super producer JD.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. What were you, cranking some Christmas music in the ride in?
Always. Yeah. Always. 24 hours a day.
Are we talking Mariah Carey, like right to that?
Yeah, she's always number one.
Okay.
But then there's number two, number three, number four, number five, number six.
I didn't know if we were like carols or like, yeah, Christmas.
Yeah, all
music.
Of them.
Oh, all of them. Jeez.
Oh, Christmas tree.
I think it's too early. That's a topic we're going to be debating.
I think 2 weeks too late.
Wow. Holy.
November 1st, baby. Not by choice for me, but it happened.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I'm in on it, you know? I'm in on the... I think my favorite song this year is going to be Santa Baby.
Oh, Santa Baby. That wasn't canceled?
Yeah, who knows? It's Christmas.
I can't remember which ones are canceled or not. Anyway,
you're thinking of Baby, It's Cold Outside, which is just misinterpreted in today's day and age.
Right. Shout out to the stream team joining us live on YouTube. Smash that like button and subscribe. Play your Christmas music loud so everybody can hear it. No Dunks, guys, is hosting a new weekly NBA Tiers competition on Splash Sports. We're going to be running a contest every Friday for a $5 entry. Limited spots available. So you got to sign up before it fills up. The easiest way to enter is to download the Splash Sports app and then search for No Dunks, or you can just go to splashsports.com/no dunks. Terms and conditions apply. I believe this contest will be running every Friday through the end of the year. While you play Christmas music, you will be in the Splash Sports app competing against other people.
And we're going to be dressed up in our suits while we sign up, because we're wearing suits every Friday.
That's exactly right. Exactly.
Yeah, that's the perfect time.
Every Friday, except one time on Wednesday.
While we're eating pumpkin pie.
Yes, it has to do with Thanksgiving. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
That's fine. Oh, you guys, are we dressing up for Thanksgiving? I guess you sort of do, but you can go really formal, or like this, and like that. You know?
I don't. I wear a turkey
hat. You
want
to be comfy, yeah.
Yeah, you got to be comfy, not dressed up.
But the photos look baller. All of us in suits at your house on Thanksgiving?
I'll be changing right before dinner. I'll have my work clothes on, and then I'll switch to my chill clothes.
Yeah. Okay.
Which will be less comfortable than my work clothes, but I'm doing it.
Right.
I'll tell you, Formal Friday's got me back into wanting to wear a jacket. I'm looking at tailored clothing now.
Oh, excellent.
The boys are back.
All right. It's working. Yeah. All right. We got lots to talk about here on the show today, and we're going to start with some true or false. True or false questions. A lot of these based off of the stuff that happened last night. Only four games on in total, so we can probably touch on all of them. But I want to start with a sick play. Yeah, last night, DeMar DeRozan. He drove and he dished a one-of-a-kind dime to Coby White for the corner three against the Bucks. DeRozan uncorked a spinning over-the-shoulder assist that honestly brought the internet down and brought the Bulls bench to their feet. Mm-hmm. So true or false, DeMar DeRozan has the assist of the year. Is that true or false so far?
I think it's true, Leah contender. For pass of the year. It's too early to say. This is Rondo-esque, though. Like, when you're talking about all-time passes to the corner, there's some crazy Rondo ones where he's not even looking. That's what's crazy to me about this one. DeRozan spins the other way and then spins back midair. I thought at first he was going for a 360 layup. Wouldn't have been a huge surprise. I thought at second he was kicking it to Zach LaVine, wide open in the left corner. Turns out he saw Coby White for the hook pass, and he knocked it down. That was awesome.
Yeah. Bigger than Rondo here is that it's more athletic than a Rondo play because he's hanging in the air. And as you said, it's a cross-body pass. It would have been way easier to go to Zach LaVine. But he's,
still would have been nice.
It would have been awesome. It would have been a great pass. But he's got his back to the rim. At 34 years old, DeMar DeRozan's still ridiculously athletic. He's up there to pull up a 360 move.
Oh, I look sick.
Yeah. You just got to appreciate the assist that this guy makes because – as Raptor fans, when he was there, he wasn't an assist man for several years. It just wasn't part of his game. Then he goes to San Antonio and grows. And now with the Bulls, he's still making pass. He can be 5-6 assists a game. That was a ridiculous pass.
I think it's true. I think it's the assist of the year so far. I mean, still early. We're 3 weeks in. The only other one I think that's right there with it is the Jokic pass to Aaron Gordon.
Right.
You know, from the inbounds, like 70 feet away. It's like such a different type of play, but this is pretty crazy. It looks slick. I like that Coby swished it too.
Oh, yes.
Just helped the highlight, you know, no rattle home. Obviously, you had to hit it or we probably wouldn't even be talking about it. But hell, what a play.
The only other contender I would have, because I think the Jokic is there for sure. I think I remember Dennis Schroeder had some nice dimes like to Pirtle in the lane. But did you see what Josh Hart did last night?
To himself.
Self-assist.
Yeah.
Jumps in the air, throws it off Drew Holiday's back, catches it, and then knocks down the three. I don't think he got an assist in the box score, but I'm willing to put that up there with DeRozan.
That was incredible.
No, it changes every night. You're totally right. I thought when I saw it, of course it's assist of the year, but you're right. Jokic in there, even the Lakers when they were dropping Reeves and D'Angelo Russell dropping beautiful dimes. It just happens every single night in the NBA.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that game, or off of that game at least. Giannis, 35 points, 11 boards. Bobby Portis, also a double-double in the Bucks 118-109 victory over the Bulls. Bulls were in a back-to-back situation, so excuses and all that. But the loss drops them to 4-7. And the trade rumors, excuse me, are heating up in my throat. In fact, The Athletic's Darnell Mayberry dropped an article over the weekend titled, "Should the Bulls Trade Alex Caruso While They Can, or Should Chicago Keep Him?" So true or false, let's start with the Bulls fan here. True or false, the Bulls should trade Alex Caruso.
For what?
I would assume a first-round pick and maybe a young prospect. I guess the idea being they are leaning into maybe a tank job or a blow-it-up job or whatever you want to call it. But let's say a first-round pick and a young prospect, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I would be happy with that if I'm the Bulls. But I'm also thinking it's false because I don't think Caruso should be the first player traded.
Okay.
DeRozan, number one on the list. He's eligible for an extension. There's been no progress made on that, and obviously the fit with LaVine and Vooch has not been very smooth. I think of the 45 three-man rosters that the Bulls have used most often this season, or three-man lineups, that DeRozan, LaVine, and Vooch is 44th in net rating. That's their big three. So I would have DeRozan first on the trade block, then LaVine second, and then I think you're probably looking at a combination of either Vooch or Caruso going third, but the thing with Caruso is he's good to keep around even if you're rebuilding because he's a great culture guy. He's great on defense, and he's great to keep around because he's got another year left on his deal. And half the league would be happy to have Alex Caruso. So they can take their time waiting out the offers here, which is what I'm sure will happen. It won't happen right away, but I looked at the Fanspo trade machine this morning. Number one trending player to be traded, Alex Caruso. Can you guess the next four? 2, 3, 4, and 5.
All Bulls?
I thought it was
two of them are Bulls.
Zach LaVine for
Zach
sure.
Zach LaVine number two, DeRozan number three. Then who do we got 4 and 5?
Pascal Siakam.
That's number four. OG. And number five is a trade throw-in guy.
A trade throw-in guy.
Yeah.
Well, later on, I'm going to talk about all the guys who are on bad teams that should be dealt this year. Could be one of them.
It's Evan Fournier.
Oh, no, okay. That's not who I was
thinking. So I think that if the offers come through for Caruso. December 15th is a big date in the NBA calendar because more players are eligible to be traded. Obviously, the trade deadline is in February. That's probably most likely when it happens, but the Bulls are not trending the right way. The team doesn't seem to like each other. We had Zach LaVine kind of calling out Billy Donovan in the first week of the season. We had the players' meeting that wasn't a players' meeting. It feels like something is going to happen, or at least the Bulls should be sellers. And when that's the case, I think Caruso is going to be a guy who's going to have a nice bidding war for him. So that's good for the Bulls.
Yeah, only if they want to tear the whole thing down would I trade Alex Caruso. Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't really make sense to trade Alex Caruso, who is a great guy to get you into the play-in tournament, as they did last year. You know, he's a great guy to have on your team, but he's not going to turn it around that much. And with the Bulls, they make money. It's a team that is good being mediocre, and that's exactly who Alex Caruso is. Why wouldn't they have traded him last year? I thought, of course they're going to trade him last year. They're just such a mediocre team. Trade Alex Caruso, but they ran it back. Yeah, he's been there for years. He's such a good guy to have around. He's 29. He's going to be turning 30. He's a guy to have around for the rest of his career, it feels like, unless you are absolutely tearing it down. But again, this Bulls team just loves being MOR. They just like being in the middle, and that's fine. That's fine by me.
Mm. Is it fine by you?
I don't know. I don't know, man. For a long time, the Bulls were in the middle, and it was a mark of pride to make the playoffs 7 straight seasons.
Right.
Then they tried tanking and got literally nothing out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly.
Literally nothing out of it. Now they're trying to run it back. So maybe it's time to go back into the tank. Teams should be selling, right? Like, some team is going to sell. Will it be the Bulls? Maybe. They haven't shown the inclination, just like the Raptors haven't shown the inclination.
DeMar is showing that he could get a lot back, even though he's 34 years old. I thought last year would be the year to trade DeMar DeRozan. Zach LaVine could get you some stuff back. We'll talk a little bit later about the Sixers and whether or not they should get Zach LaVine in there to play with Tyrese Maxey. I don't think they should. But there's a lot to trade on this Bulls team, and their ceiling is the 9th spot. I mean, they're not that great.
Yeah, the issue with trading those two guys, DeRozan and LaVine, is there's obviously got a lot more money you got to come back in a hypothetical trade. Caruso makes like, $10 million. Yeah, $9, $10
million.
Very
nice.
Team-friendly, and he is only 29. Yeah, like Mabry, he makes the case in his article. Cases for keeping him. I mean, he's the heart and soul of the team. He might be, I think Mabry calls him really their most valuable player. He's not their most talented, but what he does, he's dependable on both ends of the floor, and he is, in theory, just entering his prime. I don't know if Caruso is going to go another level up, but if he plays at this level, that's a really good player. The case for trading him, he points out, well, what do the Bulls really have to build around? Which players do they really, truly have to build around? Kobe White? I mean, even if he counts, because it's probably Williams, Io, Dalen Terry, they have no draft capital. This is what Mabry's getting at here.
They're down one pick, man.
Okay.
They're down one pick.
Okay, so they would be getting picks, obviously, and young prospects, because you'd be leaning into a complete tear it down and rebuild.
Yeah, they're hoping that they get a juicy pick back for Alex Caruso. I think that would be the hope, but what would they get? Would they get a lottery pick? Probably not. It's probably a really good team, unless they have something in the cabinet that's somebody else's pick. Perhaps,
right. All right, let's hear from everybody on that one. What do the Bulls do here? 4-7. Is the sky falling? Are they going to actually do it? Are they going to trade some of these guys? Be it Caruso, be it Zach, be it DeRozan.
He's also out of the lineup right now.
Yeah,
missed the last 2
play,
games.
Yeah.
He misses a lot of time because he's on the ground all the time, getting banged up. But that's just going to always be the case for Caruso. He won a title with the Lakers. People view him as a championship player, and he's kind of like the most winning plays kind of guy that the Bulls have. So there are teams that'll be interested in him. I would love to see the Nuggets pick him up, to be quite honest. He'd be their new Bruce Brown. They need him.
Yeah, it's interesting. Let's move to the Celtics getting a win last night. They snapped out of a shooting funk pretty late to beat the Knicks 114-98. You know, that's a looks like a runaway victory, but it was close for 3 quarters. Jason Tatum scored 17 of his 35 in the fourth. And again, it was a 3-point game, turned into a blowout. The win improved Boston to 8-2 overall and a perfect 5-0 at home. And my true or false question, Tass, you can get us started here, is true or false, the Celtics are the most well-rounded team in the NBA.
Well-rounded.
Not the best team, because if you look at records, they're technically not, but well-rounded on both sides of the ball and what they've done so far this year through 10 games.
Eastern Conference, yeah. The Denver Nuggets are the best team in the NBA. But in the East, They've got guys in the starting lineup that are willing to make sacrifices. All five of them have a lower usage rate than last year. That's impressive to me with Drew Holiday and Derek White, and then your Jays, and then Kristaps Porzingis. They all are doing less. They're making sacrifices for each other. Kristaps Porzingis doesn't care if he scores 39. He just doesn't care. We know of him as a star. He had a 9-point game last week where he had four shots, and he's okay with it. And he's playing D on the perimeter. He's looking really agile. It's cool to see that. He was injured this year, this summer, when we were all watching the World Cup, and we were thinking, is he ever coming back? When's he coming back? He was hurt for Latvia with the plantar fasciitis. They've just got guys in him and Drew Holiday, starting with Drew Holiday. And I say the Eastern Conference because the Bucks lose Drew Holiday, and the Celtics defense, starting with him and Derek White on the perimeter, is just ready every possession. And so they've got those two guys in Holiday and Porzingis that are ready to sacrifice. So yeah, they're just deep in the East, and they're huge as long as those guys stay healthy. But I always want to say Nuggets, maybe because you were just talking about Alex Caruso, but the Nuggets are the best, and the Celtics are going for.
No Sixers love? I mean, they're well-rounded as well, but yeah. The Celtics, I will note, are the only team, I think, in the NBA right now currently top five on both sides of the ball, offensive rating and defense rating, number one in net rating. Sixers are right there. Nuggets are right there.
Celtics are deeper than the Sixers, but...
I think the Sixers are a little deeper. I don't really believe in the bench for either the Celtics or the Nuggets at this point. It's pretty early in the season, but, like, Peyton Pritchard, Sam Hauser, Luke Kornet, those are good guys in the regular season, but... none of them could stay on the court in the playoffs last year. We have no clue what the Nuggets bench is going to look like come playoff time. They're playing all young guys that they're trying to develop right now, and it has been up and down so far this season. Whereas the Sixers have like NBA caliber guys basically 1 through 10 after the trade with trading James Harden and getting Batum and Covington back. Obviously, Kelly Oubre's out right now, but I think they probably have the deepest team in the league, but the Celtics' top six is better than the Sixers' top six. Mm.
Yeah. Did you see any of this game last night? I mean, again, the Knicks like did keep it close. They were in it. No RJ Barrett, but that Tatum just, it was a takeover. He had a bad game up until that point. Couldn't hit a three to save his life, and he caught fire late.
Yeah, this is a team now I think he can just chill out for the first half, three quarters, and then really turn it on in the second half. He doesn't have to put a 50-point game together like he did against the Sixers last year in the postseason. He doesn't have to because they've got so many guys. Again, that usage rate, that's important. The Knicks had them. They had them for the first half, but they guarded Julius Randle pretty well, and then they just turned it on. So they can turn it on. You know, Drew Holiday's also not going to score 25, but he can turn it on the defensive end.
Obviously, the Sixers beat the Celtics, handed them one of their losses. The Wolves, I guess, was the other team that handed the Celtics their other loss, but I think they play again here soon. Sixers-Celtics. I think it's this week.
We got an IST game, perhaps?
I think it's Wednesday night. I don't think it's tonight.
That game means nothing.
But the Sixers play...
boring wooden courts?
I think the Sixers play the Pacers tonight in the IST. We're going to be on playback tonight around 8:30 p.m. Eastern, probably catching the end of some of those early starts. So hit that link in the show notes. Join our No Dunks playback room. Okay, in other game action... Siakam scored a season-high 39 points, and the Raptors overcame a 23-point deficit to beat the Wizards 111-107 up north. Washington led by 12 with just under 6 minutes to go, and they didn't score again. We watched this one on playback, and it was wild. The Wizards missed their final 10 shots from the field, so they lose another game. The Raptors have another huge comeback. They did against the Spurs not long ago. But true or false, Trey, get us started here. The Wizards are not a serious basketball team.
I mean, shout out to 2 Chainz. This is true. Skeets, I feel bad for you because you're going to be sucking down a bag full of nut dust. This team is an absolute joke. First in pace, somehow 23rd in offense. That's wild.
Yeah.
Like, why are you playing so fast if you're that bad on offense? You look at the Pacers, they're second in pace, and they got the best offense in the league. The Wizards, though, last night, they didn't score for the last 5 minutes and 47 seconds.
They had so many layups, though. Botched layups. They were getting to the rim and getting open threes. They went ice cold, but that was weird.
Steph broke down their last 12 possessions. It went turnover, blocked shot, turnover, missed layup, missed layup, missed layup, missed three. Turnover, missed floater, turnover, turnover. Unbelievable.
They are... That was pretty amazing. I thought the Raptors had set themselves up for the classic fake comeback, down 23, oh, I'm watching on playback. I'm pissed off because we're getting hammered by the Wizards. I was like, yeah, we'll get this to 5. It's 6, and it'll be just like too big of a deficit, and they'll ultimately lose. And instead, yeah, thanks to the Wizards just for turning it over or missing shot after shot, the Raptors end on a 22-1 run, Tass, and pull this out and got me tweeting your thumbs up photo. But what do you think about this? About this Wizards team here?
I think they're must watch because
they sort of are.
Yeah, it's fun to watch how horrible they are. It's fun to watch Jordan Poole turn the ball over, not pay attention to what his coach is saying during timeouts, you know, shoot it and then pretend that he's hitting it. He does the old Steph, the old Nick Young thing where he thinks it's in. He turns and he looks at the bench and then it just rims out, that kind of thing.
Yep.
I love it. And Kyle Kuzma also just stepped out of bounds there right at the end.
That was nuts.
They called a timeout.
Yeah,
to run Kuzma out of bounds. Come on.
But it was so weird because I don't know why he was out of bounds.
I mean,
he just got a pass
just
and then
went one step too far.
He just stepped too far and then it just didn't end. They were chasing Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And then they're like, I mean, it's a 4-point game. There's 2 seconds to go. The odds of you winning the game are like next to zero, but they just chucked the ball. Like, they literally just were like, game's over. They just threw it in, like, haphazardly to half
Kuzma.
Court.
Just
like, just
again.
Not even an effort to, like, maybe get fouled or something. They were just like, it's done. What have we done?
They don't like each other. It feels a little like the Warriors from last year with Poole, where they just don't have the chemistry. And I love seeing Denny and his contract extension he signed. But when he's the primary guy running the offense, it doesn't look good. He's a secondary offensive guy. The Raptors were just really good. And when they came back, it was
They were not good for a while. There was no OG. I think he lacerated his finger doing household chores. And,
interesting.
And then Gary Trent Jr. missed the game. Yeah, I don't have the details on that, but that's what I heard. This would have been a different topic here this morning if the Raptors had lost by 20 or even just lost this game. But yeah. Chris Boucher was awesome. Oh, Siakam was the star. It was nice to see for Raptors fans, he hit a game-winning shot, too. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't... He got Poole on him, went at him. I mean, they're just too small for Siakam. And he got it to, like, it hit the front of the rim and dropped it. Big, big shot. But Boucher, I thought, great energy off the bench with the fro flowing there. Malachi Flynn, decent. Like, they actually got some guys contributing coming in to at least give them some energy to get back in this game. Turns out you just have to play hard to beat the Wizards.
Yeah. We would be talking about it differently. Dennis Schroeder was 1 for 12. Our man Pascal Siakam had 6 turnovers. Things were bad. Things were very bad.
Yes, yes. Trey slipped it in there. We do have a weird bet going on here. Pick'em payoffs, it's sort of done. We don't do it anymore. But the bet for the entire season here is whatever team between the Hornets, that's Trey's team, and the Wizards, that's my team, whatever team has the fewest amount of wins between those two, the loser has to basically chug the dust at the bottom of like a peanut bag.
Oh.
This is news to you.
Yeah. It's news to me, but it's also, I go both ways.
I mean,
sometimes I despise that idea, but also.
I know. I just think it's a lot of cough. It's almost like a cinnamon challenge in a way.
A little bit, yeah.
It's a lot of salt.
It'll taste a little good.
Yeah, yeah.
And then your mouth will feel like a desert.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll be parched.
So I'm Team Wizards, you know, and he's Team Hornet. These are both absolutely horrible teams, but right now...
Yeah,
I think
Hornets are whopping
like
3-6
right
now.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
They've split the series, I think, though, so
they
far
1-1.
Nice.
Those are big games when it comes to our win-loss.
That's why I've picked guys on these teams that need to be dealt, because they're losing teams. That's it.
Yes.
Done and done.
All right, final one here in True or False. De'Aaron Fox. 28 points, 6 assists in his return from an ankle injury, helped give the Kings, Mike Brown specifically, his 400th career victory with the 132-120 win over the Cavs. Sabonis flirted with a triple-double. Keegan Murray, season high, 25 points, hit 5 three-pointers. So my question off of this is, true or false, De'Aaron Fox is the Kings' most important player?
Absolutely. Yeah. He gets everything moving on that starting lineup, that roster, how the shots are coming. 4 guys scored 20 or more, as you mentioned there.
Yeah.
The Keegan Murray, he's been struggling a little bit to start this season, but I think he's going to be so key for them just to be that sort of secondary guy. We saw him at Summer League. We were hoping he was going to be fantastic, and he was. He really was. Kevin Huerter, same thing. That guy gets it set up properly. And hopefully he's healthy. You know, he missed 5 games because he wasn't. But when he is, this Kings team is for real.
Mm-hmm.
They're so, so good. And they're so good that they built Mike Brown a throne.
Well, that's their sort of, you know, how all these teams have, like, chains and bits they do now.
Yeah.
I believe they give it the crown or whatever to the defensive player of the game. But they gave it to Mike Brown last night because of win 400. Mm.
A nice chair.
Well, yeah, he got to sit in the chair and take a photo. Didn't he have a crown on, too? I think they gave him a crown.
Well, I didn't think that was him.
Yeah, that was him.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. That's cool for him.
Fox did make an immediate impact in the game. He scored like in the first basket. 10 seconds.
Off the tip, yeah.
Yeah, but what do you think? I believe you. I assume you think this is true as well.
Yeah, I do think that having their best player back is important for the Kings, and therefore he's the most important. There's one number that sticks out to me. Last year, the Kings were 12th in pace. This year, with Fox missing a handful of games here already, they're only 26th. Mm. And the guy's one of the fastest players in the league. He looked disruptive on both ends, I thought, last night. Yeah. He was obviously the quickest guy on the court, but he was giving it his all defensively as well. I'll also say, best game I've seen from Sasha Vezenkov last night. 11 points, 3 threes, 17 minutes. Tass like to call him the lefty Klay Thompson in the summer. I think he's more of a Bulgarian George Niang. That was a nice matchup seeing those two go against each other.
Yeah, he looked more athletic in Europe. You're right.
Yeah, that's what happens. Yeah. Gets to the NBA, not quite as athletic. Yeah.
But then you mentioned Kevin Huerter. Huerter's been balling. Yeah. He's had his best three games of the season in these last three wins for the Kings. They need him to shoot it from outside, and he gets easier shots when Fox is creating for him.
Yeah, you wonder, like, the injury to Fox missing a couple games. Is it one of those weird little blessings in disguise that just guys like Huerter and Monk even, who had some beautiful dimes actually in this game too last night, it just gives them more reps, and then when Fox comes back, they're asked to do a little bit less, back into their role, and maybe they can flourish. Because, yeah, Huerter good, Keegan Murray amazing. Like, as a team, they shot nearly 60% from the field. They hit 23s. They really kept the Cavs sort of at arm's length when they tried to make the comeback. But yeah, Fox is their most important player. I think you even see the impact he has on a guy like Sabonis, which is, you want him to be your second guy. Fox makes everything go. And another interesting development from the game, Keegan Murray guarding Donovan Mitchell for a majority of the game, especially down the stretch, helped hold him to 7 of 21 shooting. That's, to me, a level where the Kings can go to another level if Keegan Murray actually is a really he's a big dude. And if he can really lock in on that end, give them sort of a perimeter defenders a little bit, that's how you go up another level, I think. Because they got to get better at defense, which they are slowly. Brown has got them playing a little more D. So that was just an interesting development, I think, from last night.
Yeah, Donovan Mitchell, he was limited in this game. Everybody else really contributed. He struggled a little bit. It was great to see, Evan Mobley and Caris LeVert. They had a lot of guys banging home threes. If Donovan Mitchell was better, then the Cavs could win this game. But as we talked about with that horrible Wizards-Raptors game, this was the best game. Like, that one was tough to watch. Even the Knicks-Celtics, it was fine. This Cavs-Kings game was really good. It was really slow.
And are we worrying about the Cavaliers quite yet? Losing record, don't look all that inspiring. I know Garland was injured for a majority of the year there, and Allen and stuff like that, so maybe it's too soon to worry.
I'm worried about the supporting parts. I was worried about Evan Mobley for sure, but at least he had a decent game in this one. He was slowly coming along. I think he should be highlighted a little bit more. Yeah, Donovan Mitchell doesn't look like himself. Yeah, it's okay to worry about.
We'll circle back.
They're not clicking yet, and they've had, a couple of starters miss significant time already, so they haven't had their team the way they think it's going to be. But when Caris LeVert is kind of like your second option, not ideal. I mean, he's been playing pretty decent basketball, I think, to start here, but I think they will be better the further on we get in the season.
All right, well, let's take a break, and when we come back, Tass has some takes for us after missing a few of the first weeks of the NBA season, so don't go anywhere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, here in the Classic Factory, hit that like button. Make sure you subscribe. Podcast listeners, leave your boys a 5-star rating and review. Tass, you made your triumphant return yesterday. The people were hyped. They were pumped. It was great to see. It's great to have you here. But we were thinking about it. you did basically miss, I guess, almost 3 weeks of the NBA season. You said you had some takes to throw at us, some thoughts.
Well, I've got
about
thoughts.
The show. As a,
well, watching you guys with your thoughts, I thought I have thoughts as well. Yeah, you guys have been great. I just wanted to add on to what's going on in the NBA because, number one, the in-season tournament is happening in November, and I wondered, are people going to care? It's working.
Mm.
It's working very well. Would you believe that viewership for the in-season tournament on ESPN is up 55% versus the comparable windows last season?
Yeah.
Because people can't, because people watch the NBA.
Because I can't tell you what those games were at all last year.
See, yeah, I don't know. I don't know about this stat. 55% versus the comparable windows last season.
I looked it up.
Yeah.
According to Sports Media Watch, Lakers, Suns, 1.93 million viewers tuned in for Lakers, Suns, 1.4 million for Nets, Celtics. Compared to last year's equivalent doubleheader, Lakers, Suns viewership increased 73% from Bucks, Timberwolves. While Nets Celtics declined 4% from Bulls Celtics.
Okay.
So basically, LeBron and KD are bigger draws than Giannis and Anthony Edwards, which I believe.
Which, we would have known anyways, which would have been
involved. That's how you do it. The floors.
Yeah, but it is all about the floors. if you tune in, if you're flipping by ESPN and you see these floors that are different, why the heck wouldn't you watch them?
Yeah.
I think it is the appropriate time, though, for people to be involved, invested in games that mean a little bit more. November is the proper time for Adam Silver and everybody in the NBA to say, watch NBA games. Football is great, and I know the NBA season, air quotes, starts on Christmas, but November is a good time to say, hey, just watch basketball. And there's a weekend Vegas in December. Go there. Have fun. Watch the games. Make something of it. And it's also the appropriate time to just do something before in March when the TV deal begins to be negotiated. I think it's March of 2024. Get people involved. Get some people caring about November games. I think what it comes down to is 82 games is just way too many. Period. Done. And so make something happen in November. You know, that's what Adam Silver was discussing yesterday on the Celtics broadcast. It's entirely true. But with this being the first time we're seeing it, I think people will get invested.
I don't think it's been a bad start for this at all. I mean, you're right. I mean, numbers up, good. Feels like more people are at least talking about these Friday night games and Tuesday night games because of the courts, because of the jerseys, because of whatever the groups. And maybe as we move forward, like, I think it might get a little exciting here in a couple weeks when, ooh, that's a big game for the advancement of group play, like to move on. Because that's what we're going to get here soon. I mean, I know some teams, like the Thunder, they might be already out of this thing. They're 0-2 in their group play. I think they have a third game tonight. They're going to have played three games before the Raptors have even played a game in the in-season tournament. Weird scheduling quirk. I know there's some other teams that I don't think have played. But anyway, this is okay. It's going to take a while until they actually maybe care about the trophy and all that. That'll be years, if ever. But I don't mind this. At least people are tuning in or talking about it, I guess.
My favorite point that Silver made when he was on the broadcast last night is that this is just the schedule for basketball. A, it's just regular season games. So they were going to be played anyways. Yeah. I don't know if this was the case for y'all growing up since your Thanksgiving is in October, but it's very common in the U.S. You play a Thanksgiving tournament at the beginning of the year. That's what this is. Then you play a Christmas tournament around Christmas time. That's NBA Christmas Day. And then you play, obviously, your championship, March Madness, or the NBA Finals. So it just slots in. Nobody really is hyping up the Maui Invitational at the beginning of the year, but they count as regular season games in college, and you win something. Mm-hmm. And they have a weird floor.
Yeah. The floors are important. I think the floors help, to be honest, because you're flipping around. That's why I sort of believe.
You flip channels?
Yeah. Flip apps. Flip what's broadcasting to me.
Oh, you know, okay. Like, well, that's the thing. I feel like channel flipping, that's not so much a thing anymore.
Yeah,
I think it's probably more the people tune into these games that are on whatever they're on, NBA TV or ESPN, and they're like, what the heck? What is this floor? What does that mean? What's that trophy at
it's
center?
Branded
it gets
well,
people
yeah.
asking questions,
absolutely.
I guess. Do you think they're going to change the floors every year? Like next year, are we going to have 30 brand new in-season tournament courts? Probably, right? Because they go hand in hand a lot of these times with their city edition jerseys.
Or zero.
Or, yeah.
It depends. Just depends on the painter in each city. That's what it's about.
The manufacturer?
Yeah. Patent work.
I did have people. Remember I was asking, hey, is this good or bad for people that install floors? Do they like this because it's more work and they're paid maybe hourly?
Oh, yeah.
Or do they hate this because it's just more work and they're paid the same? My floor sources say they like it. Yeah. They're just getting to flip more floors. They're in there putting more hours in. I don't know, overtime kicking in. That's what I've been told. Two different sources that have some connection to the in arena sort of flipping. So good. I'm happy to hear that.
I think so. I think people will be painting more and more.
Painting? Well, they don't come in and paint the floor after every
Yeah, they do what they do. They paint the wood. Paint Pritchard on the spot. Anyway.
Peyton Pritchard.
Peyton Pritchard, yeah. Let's get to the next one here. Yep. Vets that need to be dealt this season. I was excited to watch the beginning of the year, where we come from in the summer league action, where we saw Victor Wembanyama's probably worst game he will ever play in a Spurs uniform in his first game. Then his second game, he came on. He was great. Now, this start to his season, it's been so good. He's playing Chet tonight.
Yeah.
We're getting some Thunder Spurs. Exciting stuff. I was looking at all the teams that aren't going to be great, and I thought maybe the Spurs aren't going to be great. Maybe some of these teams got to be dealing people, but the Spurs don't deal anyone during the season. But the Wizards and Hornets will be. So here are the vets that need to be dealt this season. For the championship-type teams, teams that are looking to just get a guy off their bench most likely, who can score? Danilo Gallinari of the Washington Wizards. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you forgot about that guy's name. But he can score. Gordon Hayward of the Hornets is playing well. And DeLon Wright we'll get to of the Washington Wizards. Not so much a scorer, but a good guy. These guys are going to help playoff teams. These are all guys from teams that will not make the playoffs. They're good players. They're all on expiring deals, and they should be dealt. Unlike Alex Caruso, who's a contract, these guys are all coming up done in July. So deal them. Danilo Gallinari gets buckets. He's 35 years old. Why do the Wizards need him at all? They don't. I do not think they do. And last year, he was signed by the Celtics for a long-term deal to help them win a championship. And now, he's just resting. He rested yesterday's game against the Toronto Raptors. He sat because he needed rest, apparently. But he's shooting 53%.
Yeah.
Does anyone want Danilo Gallinari? They gave up on him in Boston because they went and got Drew Holiday. He was part of the Kristaps Porzingis deal, actually. Somebody should just go grab Gallinari.
Yeah, I could see that.
Just come off your bench, hit 10, like Eric Gordon did last. Like, you know, he's that type of guy, you know, towards the end of his career. That's all. I just hope Danilo will be somewhere. That's all.
Those guys are gettable, I would imagine. If they're all on expiring contracts and basically at the end of their careers, you should be able to get them for like a second-round pick.
Yeah,
you shouldn't trade much for Danilo Gallinari. He'll probably be a buyout guy.
Yeah, Gordon Hayward has been playing better.
He's the only one I think that's like desirable around the league.
Yeah, these are all guys that just like, you know, fill your bench.
Those are guys.
If you need them. But yeah. Gordon Hayward, yeah, he's actually playing well. 15, 5, and 5, steal and a half, almost a block per game. What? This
good
guy?
Good Gord.
Yeah, good Gord is great. You know, he's like a great Harrison Barnes, maybe. You know, just slot him in. And he's not shooting a ton. LaMelo Ball is the guy who's shooting all the time over there. So he's a good support guy. Why do the Hornets need him? They don't. Move on. Because they are in a place where they should trade a 33-year-old guy.
Yeah.
DeLon Wright, I want to include him because I know you love him.
I do, but unfortunately he's injured. He's out like 4 to 6 weeks, right?
The old knee.
With the old knee injury. Yeah. But, I mean, yes, I have talked, it feels like, every year here on the No Dunks podcast. I love the idea of just a good, solid backup point guard for a good team that wants to win a championship. Come in, don't make mistakes, run the system, get in, get out. You know, and he's that type of guy, and he brings it defensively. It's just unfortunate. The guy struggles to stay healthy. Same with Gallinari, obviously. I mean, he missed all of last season with the Celtics because of the injury. But, yeah, I like all three of these names. I could see all three either in a buyout situation or a potential trade.
It might be early in the season. I'm trying to say that these teams aren't going to do well, but it's true. The Hornets and the Wizards.
No, they're definitely not.
Yeah. Why do the Wizards need a guy like DeLon Wright? It's time to move on. They went and got him because they thought they were going to be good. He's in his 30s. I want his knees to be good enough for a championship type team. His brother, Darrell Wright, won a championship way back, way back. I want to see him get a ring just like Bro.
Wow.
He was on the 06 Miami Heat.
Oh, jeez. I had forgotten about that.
Yeah. He also made a great appearance on the Basketball Jones live show.
Yeah,
so we saw him in Oakland in 2011. Darrell Wright. So hopefully DeLon Wright moves on. I don't know if there's a spurry. I was thinking maybe Doug McDermott will help somebody. It's too deep. That's too deep right now. And the Spurs are just too good, and they don't trade anybody. Anyway, moving on. Another take here. I want to hear your guys' take, really, on the All-Star game returning to East versus West rather than just picking teams. I think it's a great move. I think because the bar is so low at All-Star weekend, why not? Why not change it from guys who pick teams and nobody really cares when they take the floor to trying hard? Because even Tyrese Haliburton, I was shocked to hear him say about this recently. He said last year it was trash at the All-Star game. He just said it was trash.
Yeah.
Literally said it was trash. He's been there once. He's young.
Yeah, it was his first one.
Yeah, you'd think he'd care
this
about...
This sucks.
It was brutal last year.
But it was shocking to hear a guy say that, because he started talking about it, and Bruce Brown, who was beside him, just went straight-faced. He just couldn't believe that somebody would say something like that, you know, to the media. But it's great that he did, because it was trash.
It's true.
It's an interesting move, because All-Star Weekend, sort of like we just talked about in-season tournament, you're trying to get lots of enthusiasm around it. So there's obviously, you know, Friday night, you got the rookies and the sophomores playing. You have a dunk contest. You got a three-point contest. And there's some talk around there about potentially moving it to Las Vegas in December. Like those types of events. Why not soup up event in Vegas December 9th? We just got one game.
Get some fun around it.
So East versus West, I think going back to what we know, Tyrese Haliburton also complaining about wearing their jerseys. We also complain about that too. He wants to wear a Pacers jersey.
They should do that.
Yeah, they should do that.
I don't know if they will, but they like to give us a crappy generic All-Star jersey that three people buy, but okay. We'll see. We've talked about this. Like, I have no issues with it. Why not? Go back. Like, this whole idea of, like, it's back to basketball. That's literally what Silver's trying to, like, sell us on. It's like, well, all he means is, like, all right, guys, just play hard. Please, for a little bit.
Please.
It doesn't matter if you're East-West, if you're Team Giannis, Team LeBron. It doesn't matter. We just want somewhat of an entertaining game. And I don't know. I mean, it's a basketball game, especially an exhibition one. Could it still be a 25-point blowout? It absolutely could.
It happens,
and
man.
The clock expires, and everyone goes, oh. Hopefully it doesn't, and you know they have a way that they can massage this a little bit, because it's a pointless game. It's just for the fans, so maybe they can, you know, let that team back into it and then like play. Like, let's go here. Final 6 minutes, let's go. And you see who's out there and you see the matchups, but sure. We're back in Indiana.
Back to basketball.
It's back to basketball. Yeah. Back to basketball. I mean, we'll see. It doesn't hopefully we just get a close game. That's it.
Yeah, I'm looking back. The last two West versus East games, in 2017, 192-182 for the West, and the year prior, 196-173 for the West. That was when like Steph Curry was literally laying down on the court and having people jump over him.
Yeah.
So basically, the All-Star game, regardless of the format, it just gets so bad every once in a while. They got to change it up. And they had to change it up after last year.
And that's why they changed to guys voting, because things weren't going well with East versus West. And it's not a lock that it's going to be good when they go to East versus West.
No. Unfortunately, it's not. And maybe we just have to stop caring. I mean, I think what we just don't want is we don't want a Harlem Globetrotters game.
Yes.
We want some silliness, and you want some characters and fun plays like that, whatever, crazy passes and all that. You want to see that.
Yeah.
But then at a certain point, you want it to like turn a little bit into a real game where there's some competitive juices going.
Just a fourth quarter. You want a fourth quarter of defense.
Yeah.
That's what Kobe asked for way back when.
Yeah. That's really all that matters. It's the star players in this league, the superstars setting the tone.
Yeah.
Whether they're East or West, or again, the captains of their teams. They have to set the tone, and these guys need to follow suit. They have to have a couple guys that give a shit. They have to give a shit just for the like for the game itself. That's the thing. Not for money or not for wins or whatever, you know, these ideas we come up with. It's just because that's really sort of what you should do to celebrate the game a little bit.
We gotta have Tyrese Haliburton on the pod. just to ask him about it. Sure. Because he seems to care about it the most.
Good.
It's in Indiana.
Good. He'll be there.
Yeah.
He will care. Here are some other guys from the East that will also care. My take here is that the Philadelphia 76ers, Maxey, Embiid, they won't trade for anybody before the All-Star game, or before the trade deadline, I should say. They will not make the move because there's rumors after they traded James Harden. All right, they get their draft picks, and maybe Daryl Morey will find another star out there to help out Joel Embiid. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're just going to go forward with Maxey and Embiid to get them into the postseason. And Embiid is going to be happy. They're going to try this postseason out with a star in Tyrese Maxey. Finally, Tyrese Maxey can play to his ceiling, to his capability, without James Harden being the guy. What happens in the offseason? Will they get another guy? Because it's so interesting to look at their salaries and how much they're paying Joel Embiid. A lot. $50 million after this season. But the only other guy who signed is getting paid $7 million. They have so much room to sign max guys.
Right. Well,
so
Maxey will be one of those, right?
He's going to be more expensive than they were thinking.
Yeah.
That is unfortunate for sure. But they're still going to have room to go get potentially a Pascal Siakam. I think to get Joel Embiid pretty happy. So okay. That's all.
So you don't think they do it during the season?
Yeah, at some point they will. But, you know, we've talked about Embiid not being happy. Embiid will be happy going into the postseason, I think, with Tyrese Maxey. And then they try this postseason out. Then they get him happy again. So he'll be 30-plus. Maybe he'll never leave. Maybe he'll never leave. So that's all I got to say about the Philadelphia 76ers, because I know you guys have been talking about them. And we'll be sitting here at the trade deadline seeing what Daryl's up to.
They're going to see if Nurse can also help get them to a third round or a finals. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not Doc anymore. That was always Doc's kryptonite, unless he was with the Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce back in the day.
I don't think the Sixers will make a big trade, like you're saying, a third star. But Daryl Morey always does something at the deadline, and I think Gordon Hayward actually is a potential fit here for the 76ers, especially like you're saying, he's got an expiring contract. They could use another ball handler off the bench. A shooter that can play alongside these guys, and they can hide him defensively as well. Shout out to Trill Bro Dude in the You Know Ball podcast. I know he's been going on and on about Gordon Hayward, who could definitely fit in here, but they don't need to make the huge move because they got a second star already. It's Maxey.
Yeah.
I like the Hayward move, to have somebody who's clearly not taken Maxey's spot to be that third guy, to be the Tobias Harris that they already have. because it's interesting. After Embiid and Maxey, they've got a bunch of – they've got depth, but they don't have a great ball handler. So Gordon would be nice. Be nice to see Gordon. Okay, last thing, because I just want to see these jerseys, because I don't even know what these jerseys are. The NBA City Edition jerseys.
Yeah,
let's have a look, because The Athletic did a great job of breaking them down, ranking them all. Our man Jason Jones, James Edwards, and Kelly Eco, all 30. There's 30 this year. That doesn't happen every year. Every team changes things. What do you guys love the most?
What do you love the most?
I mean, I didn't like at first the Washington Wizards one.
Yeah.
And it wasn't ranked all that great. I like David Aldridge getting mad about it. why did you rank that so low? It's good. It's good. I like it.
Really?
Boundary Stones, as DA put it. It kind of draws out the borders in Washington.
Oh.
Yeah, it's way back. It's a way back play.
Okay.
I like that. I don't like the basket Brooklyn Nets move. Don't like that.
Yeah.
That's a basket. Am I right? Is that an artist one? Or is that just
Cause.
Cause.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's
that's
Cause.
That's the other one. Cause, baby. You can't keep track of your artists.
Yeah, I thought they would just keep going basket. I don't like it. I don't like that one.
I don't like a lot of them. But.
Yeah,
some of them are fine, but there are a lot of duds here.
5280, I'm okay with.
Why?
Because it's the altitude.
Yeah, and then you go play in Mexico City, and they like trump them by 2,000 feet.
Wow, well, who cares about that? Yeah, this is the highest.
I'll put a higher number on it. It might be a cooler number.
You just want to.
It's the stupidest jersey. They put a number on their jersey. It doesn't even say Nuggets or Denver.
That's true.
It's pathetic, guys. They're the champions. They're the defending champions.
I agree with you. I'm just saying I don't care what Mexico City is.
Of course not. That's why I'm making fun of it.
OKC's looks like Halloween. I think theirs looks terrible on court. The biggest disappointment to me is the Suns. I think theirs looks awesome when it's sitting here,
like,
and then
that
they play on their court and you're like, well, you're disappearing. Purple on purple, bad move.
Yeah.
Kings looks bad in person. I don't mind the Spurs. Whataburger. That might be the best one to me. They got a crazy court, too. It's like green and yellow.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
Are we seeing the skeleton tonight?
Skeleton's out, baby.
I'm excited to see that one.
Yeah.
Like, just see it. Because that one's crazy.
That floor kind of looks like a no-dunks floor.
Yeah,
it's
a little
purple
bit.
Purple and neon.
Yeah. Somebody said it looks like a Goosebumps cover. Mike Zakarian, I believe, pointed that out. I was like, oh, yeah. Remember the old Goosebumps books?
Of course.
Yeah. Were you scared of them?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of... I mean, that's what I mean, like, this whole idea of, like, okay, the in-season tournament, we're obviously going to give it a go for a couple of years here. I mean, that's what Silver's, like, locking in.
Yep.
So, yeah, what... Like, are we just getting new courts and new jerseys for the in-season tournament and the City Edition, like, every single year? Are they going to stick with some of them? Can teams elect to keep them because they like them? I don't know. My gut says we'll just have a whole other batch, all 30 again.
But last year, some teams didn't make new jerseys.
No, obviously. City Edition always changes every single
year.
Right,
but then these City Editions are, like, sort of go hand in hand with a lot of these in-season tournament courts.
Yeah, but, right. I mean, you're also seeing, like, teams have their court that matches specifically their City Edition jerseys. So, like, the Pacers have their in-season tournament court that's got the big stripe down the middle, but they also have, like, a gray court that's got, like, kind of graffiti stuff on it that matches these as well.
Mm. Yeah, I thought the Indy court was more for these City Edition jerseys because it's the bright blue spray paint.
That's what I'm saying. They've got two. They've got their in-season tournament court that's, like, blue and yellow, but then they've also got that gray one that has the stuff on it.
Oh, yeah,
as
I guess you're right. I can't keep track of all of them.
That's
man,
a lot,
These men and women are making so much money putting these courts down.
Yeah.
Serious. It's amazing. It's a perfect time to get into the floor business. You guys want to get into it? Start designing them.
No, because I saw the hours. It's terrible. You got to work late nights to do it.
Yeah.
You got to go there at 3 in the morning to change out a court for $80.
Wow, that's all they get, eh?
That's what I saw in our YouTube comments.
Well, damn, I thought it was more. All right, guys, great stuff. Tass coming through with the takes. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, Tass has Tweet of the Night. Don't go anywhere.
I got to get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute. But man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch. We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. Designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/nodunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/nodunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Okay, it's time for Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
This is from Adrian Wojnarowski breaking down head coach Mike Malone for the Denver Nuggets, who has agreed to an extension, making him one of the league's highest paid coaches. Mm. I like that info there. Pop makes $16 million. Monty Williams makes $13 million. How much does Mike Malone make? Then you got Kerr and Spoelstra going down the list. $9.5-$8.5 million with their deals expiring this year. So maybe they become some of the leaders. And then moving on tweets, we got these a great thread from Adam Kerr just celebrating Mike Malone back at the parade after winning the championship. He's got a can of water in one hand and a can of beer in the other hand.
Smart. Stay hydrated.
And also, you know, when he's popping out his chain that he had around his neck while wearing a sideward hat. Didn't feel like Mike Malone, but that was Michael Malone having fun at the parade because he was great at the parade. What do you guys think about Michael Malone?
He really looks like he could be any guy from like Kitchener, Ontario, or London, Ontario, or small town Ontario. I've seen that guy like 100 times in my life.
Yeah, and he has looked like that for a long time. I remember being in the NBA TV offices. Remember he came in that one time? He was working pre-Kings? After he got fired by the Kings, believe he came in.
He was doing some TV work?
And he was doing some TV work. It was the weird days where he was...
I can't really picture him, no.
He was head coach of the Kings, and he got fired for some crazy reason. So then he was doing work. Because, you know, NBA TV bringing in everybody. Yeah. Scotty Brooks, you're in, baby. Michael Malone, you're in, baby. You know,
Lionel Hollins, nice to see you.
SVG.
Keep going. Yeah. Who's the Hawks' recent guy?
Wes Wilcox?
No.
We did see Wes Wilcox and Danny Ferry.
No, come on, you brought him up before.
Lloyd Pierce.
Thank you. Yeah. He was in.
Yeah. Laid eyes on Vinny Del Negro once.
Oh, Vinny D. Yeah. Oh, that's a great one.
Anyway,
Michael's done well.
That's what we should say instead of who's the next coach on the hot seat? Who's the next coach to be appearing on NBA TV?
Honestly, put me down for a Bickerstaff right now.
Yeah, it could be. Could be.
Wasn't he on? He may have been on. Before he obviously
Jamie Bix? Quite possible.
It's possible.
Probably.
Yeah. Try them all out. They bring them all in. They see who's got it.
Yeah.
Who's got the chemistry there with a Chris Mills late at night breaking down the game?
I will be Stephanie ready for that.
She was on last night.
That's right.
Zeke and Greg Anthony. No chips to be found on the desk with GA. Gotten through to them. He got in trouble once for eating food. Or having food really on the desk is. They didn't like that look.
Did he eat last night?
No, he didn't. I always look for chips or cookies by his computer or something like that. Nothing. He's a professional.
Yeah. Anyways, I wonder how much Michael Malone's making.
I would love.
Where's Shams? We need to find out.
Probably 10. I'm going to guess 10 mil. If you said it's among the highest NBA paid coaches, then. Yeah, probably 10 mil.
Yeah, the list is right now, it's 16, 13, and then your third place is a 9.5. So somewhere around 10,
Well-deserved. Obviously, time after time in the playoffs, winning the championship, seems well-liked there.
He's been there for a long time.
Fourth longest tenured guy.
Is he?
In the NBA right now?
So
yeah, I was surprised to see that he's been there for a long time when the Nuggets were bad.
Pop spoke her and him? Yeah.
Yep.
There you go. All right, congrats to Michael Malone on the payday. I wonder if he'll buy some more chains.
Yeah, what was the deal with that chain?
I have no clue.
Whose was that?
No idea on that one.
Doesn't seem right. Looks like a bike chain that he's wearing around his neck.
All right, great tweet of the night. Let's call it there. Join us tonight, though, on Playback. IST, baby. Get your sunglasses on. Are you down with it? You know we are. Again, we're going live around 8:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll be catching a lot of the 7 o'clock finishes. And... you know, there is Chet versus Wemby. Now, that one is on TNT. We run into some issues with some of our viewers if you are in and signed in through League Pass, at least in the States. But whatever, we'll be watching a lot of League Pass games. Some fun games on. I mean, look, Pacers-Sixers, run it back.
That's going to be a fun one.
I'm not sure Embiid is playing. I think he was questionable. But that'll be high scoring. So come join us. That link to join our playback room is in the show notes. So, join the room. Appreciate it. We're nearing like 5,000 people.
Very close.
In that playback room. Awesome stuff. All right, thanks so much for joining us. Until tomorrow or tonight, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
We gotta figure this out. Yeah. Should we all take a turn? Like, should we do that?
Yeah, quote of the day?
Yeah, a final thought and remember?
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, so who wants it today?
Thanks for joining us. And remember, it turns out Michael Malone was wearing Vlatko's chain char.
Ooh, nice. Nice pun.
Embrace the day, people.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code The Athletic. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF-IN-IOWA. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.